From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
My mom isn't here anymore. She passed away when I was a sophomore in high school. My mother was just a local Japanese lady, 4'11", but she was a keg of dynamite. She started off as an opera singer, and then, after a divorce, she went to be a waitress at the Flamingo restaurant to care for us four kids as a single mom. From an opera singer to a waitress. Why? In order to care for us four kids.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave on Mother's Day a few years ago. We'll find out that it was his mother who taught him to pray. When he spilled juice on the carpet, she said, "You better pray that stain comes out. You better pray hard." Well, praying was not the only thing she taught him to do, as we'll soon find out. Here is Pastor Wayne with a Mother's Day message.
Today, I want to unapologetically, unabashedly give tribute to the mothers of our congregation. Now, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to every single one of you. Now, I know that this is not universally the happiest day for everybody because some moms, like mine, have passed away, and Anna's mom's passed away, so we don't have moms per se. For some, they've tried. Maybe we're not able to be a mom, or others might have had a strained relationship with their mom. But nevertheless, the overarching theme of today's message is this, that we get to, nevertheless, learn how to love and honor those to whom we owe a debt that we can never repay. To love and honor those to whom we owe a debt that we could never repay. Is there a way to do it? Yes, there is, and I'll tell you about it in just a second. But that's the theme, if you can catch that. Because where you are today is not because of your own self. Somebody sacrificed to get you to where you are. Well, I did it myself. Somebody helped pay for your schooling. Someone woke you up in the morning. Somebody dressed you when you couldn't dress yourself. Someone attended to you when you were sick and you couldn't attend to yourself. Somebody prayed for you. Someone referred you to a job opening. Someone helped you get started. Someone disciplined you and routed out a character flaw that would have ruined your future. You are what you are today because we owe somebody, somewhere, some people, debts that we could never repay. And if we think that we don't, we are gravely mistaken. For indeed, let's take a look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians 4:7, and it always reminds me that someone sacrificed for me, for us, every single one of us. Let's read the scripture out loud. Go. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you indeed have received it, why do you boast as if you did not? In other words, everything we got from somebody. And so we've got to be willing to show gratefulness and love and honor and respect to those who we owe a debt to that we could never repay. And today it's especially our mothers. One of the, I think, the greatest bad attitudes we have as families is that we're guilty of any attitude more than any other else is this, it's presumption. And that is simply taking people for granted. Boy, we have an ability to do that well. And especially when it comes to moms, we are all guilty for being nearly blind to the loads that moms carry. In fact, it was exemplified in a card I was looking at the Hallmark shop, and it said this. On the outside, it said, "Happy Mother's Day. Mom, it's your day. Forget the housework. Forget the dishes. Besides," and you open it up, it says, "you can always do double duty and catch up tomorrow." Where did Mother's Day begin? It was in 1908. Her name was Anna Jarvis, who had an exemplary mother. And at her funeral, when she died, she gave great honor to her mom. And at the end of the funeral, every mom got a carnation, which was her mother's favorite flower. And by the way, When we leave today, moms, we have a carnation for you as well. And so she wrote a letter to President Woodrow Wilson asking him to consider a day of the year to be Mother's Day. Well, it finally got to the Congress in the year of 1914, May 9th, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson declared the second Sunday of every May to be known as Mother's Day. And it was, listen to this, to be a time for the public expression of our love and reverence. Public expression of our love and reverence for the moms in our country. And that's what we give tribute to today. Now, as I said, my mom isn't here anymore. She passed away when I was a sophomore in high school. But I graduated, I grew up in Palolo Valley. My mother was just a local Japanese lady, 4'11", but she was a keg of dynamite. She started off as an opera singer, and then, after a divorce, she went to be a waitress at the Flamingo restaurant to care for us four kids as a single mom. Think about it, from an opera singer to a waitress. Why? In order to care for us four kids. But she was quite a disciplinarian. I mean, she would grab anything near her as a weapon. It could be a crowbar, a piece of glass, a rock. It didn't really matter. She got her point across. In fact, there was this one day, it was early in the morning before school, she was making spam musubis and she was putting the nori around the edge. And I was so hungry, I wanted to say, no, do touch this, this is for your lunch. So I just snuck around and she wasn't looking. I grabbed one, put it in my mouth as fast as I could, you know, because once you get it in your mouth, it can't go back on the counter. So I got it in my mouth. She said, you come back here. She grabbed the nearest thing to her, which her weapon of choice at that moment was the rice paddle. And it was directly out of the rice pot with rice still on it. She chased me out the back. I'm faster than she is. She's only like this tall. So I took off out the back door laughing to myself, thinking, I am so faster than you are. But what I didn't realize is when I came around the corner, she was so smarter than I was. She just went over there and waited for me, grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and just started to beat me. And because she was a singer, she would beat me in cadence and rhythm. I do, you never will do that again. Four times. It was just spectacular. I remember even later going to school, my friends would go, hey, Wayne, what's all that gohong rice all over your pants for? Now, shut up. My mother was not an academician, but she taught me much. She was not a minister, but she taught me about prayer. She wasn't a doctor, but she taught me about science. She was not an astronomer, but she taught me about time travel. You say, how? Well, let me give you, in summary, the 10 top lessons my mother would give to me. You see, when she'd get mad and she'd come after me, my brother and I were fighting once, she looked at me, she said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to slap you into next week. Time travel. Think about it. She taught me much about the power of prayer. My brother and I were playing at the table. I spilled my orange juice. She grabbed me. She said, I told you no play around. If you spill your juice, then you're going to get it. Now, look, you better pray. It comes out of the carpet. You better pray. You better pray hard. I prayed very hard. She taught me to pray. That's why I'm in the ministry today. My mother taught me about logic and philosophy. She said, you keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. Philosophically, that's incomprehensible, Mom. It's phenomenal, though. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. At the table, we were gabbing, and she said, you shut your mouth and eat your food. Shut your mouth. There has to be osmosis. It has to be. She taught me about weather patterns. Came into my room, said, good night. A tornado just came through here. My mother taught me about the true meaning of the circle of life. She said, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Circle of life. She taught me much about giving and receiving. She said, when I get home, you're gonna get what is coming to you. You're gonna get what he's coming to you. Giving and receiving. She taught me about new advances in medical science, new discoveries. She said, you keep crossing your eyes, you're gonna come stuck that way. And the circle of consequences with choices. My brother and I were fighting in the back seat of the car. She said, you want me to stop this car? You let me know right now, because I'll stop this car. You want me to stop this car? I'll stop this car. Choices and consequences. We owe much to our moms. And especially today is the annual reminder of the great debt we owe to the woman who risked her life to bring us into the world. Because if you think about it, she carried us for 9 months. We were her chief occupation. She bore us up and carried us until we could walk. She communicated with us before we could even talk. And we learned how to form words from watching her lips as she expressed love to us. And after 9 months of carrying us in her womb, she went through the arduous process of giving birth to us, where doctors say the pain needle goes off the charts, especially with me. When I was born, I weighed 10 pounds, 3 ounces. So when I was born, my mother said to the doctor, don't you slap him, bring him here, I'm gonna slap him myself. But you think about it, when God came to the earth in different forms in the Old Testament, it always says that God appeared to man. God appeared in the burning bush. God appeared in the form of an angel. God appeared in the flame of fire, the Shekinah glory at night, and he became a cloud by day. But when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, decides to become a man, becomes a Messiah to bring redemption, he doesn't appear. He could have used any other delivery system that he wanted to. But when he came to earth, he chose a mother. For some reason, he said, no, I'm choosing a mom. And was in her womb for 9 months. She carried him and cared for him. The Messiah didn't just appear. He chose a mother. And today we want to give tribute to the very one that God gives tribute to. We give value to the one to whom God gives value. When the Bible says, oh man, nothing except that you love one another, for he who loves has fulfilled the law. The overarching theme of today is, how do you repay someone a debt that you could never repay? The Bible says, and love them, because that's paid in full. Don't take them for granted. Love them. Whoa, what do you mean? You love them through loving them verbally. You love them physically. And then would you write down, and then love her patiently. Love her patiently. So we have to understand that mothers have an incredible job with no pay. There's no position in the corporate world that would compare with the demand for a lifetime of emotional, physical, and spiritual commitment than we make on motherhood. And here's the point. In spite of all that she does for us, we often become impatient with her. We just get impatient. I mean, things that we don't even deserve, sort of like we take it for granted. Mom, you haven't washed my clothes yet? Where's my shirt that I wanted to wear tonight? You haven't even ironed it yet? Mom, come on. It's like I want to say, how much did you just pay for this laundry service? Oh, then you get what you pay for. But we just get impatient with mom, and I'm guilty of this. I like Ritz crackers just to kind of chew on something. And I walked into the pantry the other week and I said, honey, where's my Ritz crackers? You didn't buy any? It's like we start taking for granted the things that they do for free, and we start to expect and we get impatient with them when they don't get it for us. Love her patiently, especially when moms get older. This was read on James Dobson's Focus on the Family. It was an 80-year-old mom approaching her birthday, and her children asked her, Mom, what do you want for your birthday? Mom, what do you want as a gift? Mom, what do you want? And so she wrote them a letter. And let me read it to you. To all my children, I suppose my upcoming 80th birthday has started thoughts along these lines about when you ask what kind of present would you like. So I guess it's a good time to tell you that really what I truly want are things that I could never get enough of, and yet they are absolutely free. You ask, what are they? Well, for starters, I would love for you just to come and sit with me. And when you sit with me, be relaxed. And I need your patience. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. And I know it's tiresome that you always have to repeat things, but sometimes I just have to ask you to repeat it. I need your patience. I need your patience when I think too much about the past with my slowness and my set ways. And please be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. I spill things. I misplace things. Sometimes I can't remember what time to take my medication or even if I've taken it already. And I know I probably take too many naps, but sometimes sleep just helps to pass the day. Well, there you have it. You asked me what I wanted. Two gifts, patience and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want. I think it's a wonderful feeling to know that God says his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he cares for me. So your greatest gift is just reminding me from time to time that he still, through you, cares for me. Love, Mom. Love her verbally with your words. Love her physically with your arms. Love her patiently. And then love her honorably. There are 10 commandments in the book of Exodus, and only one comes hooked to a promise. And the promise is this. Let's read it on the screen, would you? Go. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God has given you. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Well, I'm going to reward you if you do that. I'm going to give you a long life, good days. And by the way, this promise is binding as long as mom and dad are alive. So our love, especially today for moms, is going to be critical because this promise is for you as long as she is alive. If you think about it, if the father is the head of the home, then the mom is the heart of the home. And you don't ever want to break the heart of your home. So how do we repay those to whom we owe a debt that we could never repay? God says by loving. And when you love them, it's paid in full. No, not take them for granted. Not to be presumptuous, be entitled, but to love them verbally, to love them physically, to love them patiently, and to love them honorably. And on this Mother's Day, it is a good reminder that gives us a way to love not only our moms, but God. to whom we owe a debt that we could never repay. Let me finish with a story that's a fictitious story, but has a truism interwoven in the midst of it. It goes like this. When the Lord created mothers, it took him a long time. In fact, at this time, he was already into his sixth day of overtime when one of the angels appeared and said, "Hey, God, you're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one. It's taking you a long time." The Lord said, "Have you seen the specs on this order? Do you understand what this creation of mine has to do?" "No," said the angel. "Well, first of all, she has to be completely washable, unbreakable, but not plastic. She has to have hundreds of moving parts, all moving at the same time, and all replaceable. I've got to make her in such a way that she can run on black coffee and leftovers. And she has to have a kiss that can cure anything, from a scraped knee to a broken leg to a broken relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, and he says, and I've got to put in six pairs of hands." The angel said, "Six pairs of hands?" "Oh yeah," the Lord said, "but that's not what's causing me problems. It's the three pairs of eyes." "Three pairs of eyes?" "Yeah," said the Lord. "One pair that can see right through closed doors. Especially when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' She can already see. Another pair on the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't see, but she needs to see. And of course, the ones right in front that can look straight into the heart of a child that just goofed up and says, 'I understand, and Mom still loves you.'" God said, "But I am getting close to finishing her. I mean, this has to be probably the most amazing creation I have done to date. Because already she can become the person I want her to be, because she already is able to heal herself when she's sick. She can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger. And she can even get a four-year-old to stand still under the shower. And even though she knows the truth, she'll be unendingly forgiving. She is strong, but she is soft. She never stops, though she is weary. She has experienced all the pain, but she will remember only the joys. This will be the crowning jewel of my creation." The angel finally said, "Whoa, that's a lot to put in a mother." He bent over and ran his finger across the cheek of the mother, and he said, "Oops, there's a leak." "What?" "Yeah, I told you, God, you're trying to put way too much in this model. It's starting to leak." "Oh, that's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "A tear," said the angel. "What's that for?" The Lord replied, "It's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for disappointment. It's for pain. It's for loneliness. And it's for when she's proud of somebody." "Oh," the angel said, "you're a genius. You even put in tears." And God, with a somber look on his face, said, "No, I didn't put it there." "Then who did?" the angel asked. "She did it herself," the Lord replied. "Those can only come from deep within when a mother truly becomes a mother." So today, from all of us at New Hope, we want to say happy Mother's Day to the crowning jewel of God's creation, our moms. We love you.
You've just heard a message given on Mother's Day sometime back by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.